Good morning, and welcome to you 19 brave souls who mustered up all your strength and fortitude to be here this morning for this worship service to celebrate bold women. I want to thank all of those people, men and women, who stepped up to help today. It's wonderful to know us, to know that when you ask people to step in and do something, they don't even hesitate. They just say, sure. And so that is something that I am very grateful for in bringing this worship service to you today. Just a couple things in the announcements that you might want to open your bulletin for, because they are different today. Tuesday will be boards and council, because we have Lenten services on Wednesday. So if you want to come to the Lenten services, or we hope you do, on Wednesday, there is a meal at 5:30 and the worship service at 6:30. I also know that there's an insert in your bulletin for the food shelf that Bob Agnew shared information about last week, so you can pay attention to that. And then coming up on March 16th, I know that the Women of Faith Lutheran are hosting an event for the National Quilt Day as well. So if you would please look at that, see if that fits in your calendar for this this coming Saturday, March 16th. Are there any other announcements or things that we want to share? Congratulations, Elaine Johnson was recognized as Clearwater County's First Lady this year, and she's one of our ushers today. Congratulations. All right, once again, I just want to thank everyone who stepped in to be part of this worship service today to celebrate the bold women of the Reformation. I do have an assignment for you during this opening hymn. During the Litany of Thanksgiving, there will be an opportunity where you will be invited to name out loud a bold woman that you appreciate and want to give thanks for. So as we're singing our opening hymn, that is your assignment. Is there a bold woman that you would like to recognize out loud? I will invite you to do that during the Litany of Thanksgiving. So let's start out with our opening hymn. You can stand and we'll sing together, Arise, Your Light Has Come, hymn number 314.
Your light has come, the Spirit's
please join me in the litany of thanksgiving found in your bulletin. Lord our God, we give thanks for the witness of bold women in early times, today, and into the future. Bold women show us how to live as God's beloved children in God's beloved creation. We live into our baptismal call to work for the justice and peace for all God's creatures. Together we say, thank you, God. For Katharina von Bora Luther, who ran to embrace change in her world, we say, thank you, God. For Katharina Schutzel, a publishing church mother who married to bring voice to God's truth in her time, we say, thank you, God. For Agula von Grumbach, who wrote letters and poems defending the reformers as bearers of the true faith, we say, thank you, God. For Olympia Fulvia Morata, blessed by God as a child to study and boldly proclaim the gospel, we say, thank you, God. Each of us has been surrounded by bold women on our way, if only we look for them. For whom do you thank the Lord today? Name her aloud, and let us thank God for her witness. Lord, for these women and those we name in our hearts before you now, we thank you, God, for the witness of all bold women yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We praise you for their witness to your love and mercy. Strengthen us to live out our baptismal call to serve you and our neighbor with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of tender care, like a mother, you never forget your children, and you know already what we need. In all our anxiety, give us trusting and faithful hearts, that in confidence and boldness, we may embody the peace and justice of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. We continue with the readings.
The first lesson this morning is from Joel, Chapter 2, verses 27 through 32. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame. Then afterward I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves, in those days I will pour out my spirit. I will show portents in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. The psalm is printed in your bulletin. We'll read that responsively. It's Psalm 34, verses 1 through 8. I will bless the Lord at all times. The praise of God shall ever be in my mouth. Proclaim with me the greatness of the Lord. Let us exalt God's name together.
I sought the Lord, who answered me and delivered me from all my terrors.
Look upon the Lord and be radiant, and let not your faces be ashamed.
I called in my affliction, and the Lord heard me and saved me from all my troubles.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear the Lord and delivers them. The second reading comes from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 21. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Here ends the lessons.
Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you.'" So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You can sit down. As you know, today we are celebrating some bold women, and I want to introduce the first bold woman who will share her story with us, Argula van Grumbach. In one of the most daring and remarkable events in the history of the Reformation, our first bold woman challenged the Catholic establishment to a public debate. The issue was the persecution of a young Lutheran student. Today, we would identify Argula as an activist who corresponded heavily with theologians, governing heads, and Martin Luther, using scripture to support her view and challenge the cultural norms of the Reformation. Please welcome our first bold woman of the Reformation.
Guten Morgen. My name is Argula van Grumbach, and I was born in Germany in 1492. One of eight children, I was blessed to have a private education and plenty of books to read. In my teens, I lived through the plague, which took both my parents. That was only the beginning of my troubles. My guardian would be executed for political plotting. Although I was able to read and write more than most women of my time, I studied scripture as well as any man. Because I am a woman, my efforts often seem to only serve me names, to earn names like female desperado, wretched daughter of Eve, and arrogant devil. Although I strongly believed in justice for all Christians and embraced the writings of Martin Luther, my husband remained a Catholic and was not supportive of my writings or my efforts. Yet when I observed injustice, I had to act. When I heard that a young student of the University of Ingolstadt was being forced to recant his reformer views, he had even been imprisoned and might be burned, I wrote to the university to set them straight and defend him. For what do Luther or Melanchthon teach you but the word of God? The university professors condemn them without having refuted them. For my part, I have to confess, in the name of God and my soul's salvation, that if I were to deny Luther and Melanchthon's writings, it would be denying God and his word. While my husband did not support me in this cause, Luther did. He wrote, "The Duke of Bavaria rages above measure, killing, crushing, and persecuting the gospel with all his might. That most noble woman, our Gula von Stauffer, is there making a valiant fight with great spirit, boldness of speech, and knowledge of Christ. She deserves that all pray for Christ's victory in her." My letter received no answer. That was somehow worse than facing the threat of possible imprisonment or death as a so-called heretic, to be ignored. Yet during my life, I made sure my voice was heard, for the Holy Spirit had so empowered me. Indeed, I did not intend to bury my talent if the Lord gives me grace. Arsatius was not burned, although no one would admit my letter had anything to do with it. Although I would have happily died a martyr's death, I was able to go on writing and defending the reformers as bearers of true faith. I say to you, women of boldness, do not worry that you receive no credit for your efforts for the gospel, or even no result from your labors. God knows what you are doing. Be bold in what you can, be brave, and speak out.
Thank you, Argula. Our second bold woman of the Reformation is Katharina Schutzel. And she has been described by those who know her as a woman who combines the graces of both Mary and Martha. Today, we will hear of Katharina's work as a church mother who cared for the sick, the needy, and taught God's word. It was her passion for her work which found her in a situation that broke canon law and defied Rome. Listen as Katharina tells her story of challenging the laws regarding the clergy and marriage.
Hello, all. My name is Katharina Schutzel, and I live in the city-state of Strasbourg between France and Germany. I was born in 1498, and since I was 10 years old, I have been a church mother, a nurturer of the pulpit and school. You see, I have nearly always felt God's call upon my life. I was prepared to live a holy life of celibacy, like some of my aunts. And I plan to support myself by the art of making tapestries. But God had a slightly different plan for my life. When I was in my 20s, already happy in my role as unofficial church mother, caring for the sick and needy, and teaching about God's word, Matthew came into my life. He was the parish priest for my family, but he was different. His preaching was so true to Scripture. Both he and I had read some of the reformer Martin Luther's works, and soon we found we saw eye to eye on many things, including God's call to ministry. Soon I realized that we must marry, and that together we could work in ministry. But it was still illegal for the clergy to marry. Even though too many priests had mistresses and even children, our marriage would not be received well. So we planned the wedding for 6 o'clock in the morning, so there would be few to see us. Soon the rumors started, and the church wanted us and other clergy couples who had married that winter to give up our posts. The city council prevented that, but they continued with Matthew's and other priests' excommunications. I was infuriated. Our marriage was based on the holy word of God. The rumors became worse, accusing poor Matthew of all kinds of things he would never do. So I decided to do something bold, very bold, for a woman who had just been called an illegal harlot by the bishop. I wrote a letter to the bishop. I very carefully explained how our marriage was entirely scriptural, with many citations, and in, I must say, in a very patient way, at least as patient as I could be. Although indeed an evil teaching is more dangerous than a wicked life, teaching affects many others, but with a wicked life, the greatest harm is to the self. So this wicked teaching against marriage affected not only us, but all of God's people. That letter was one of many I would write. God had provided to me the means to bring God's truth to light through my education and knowledge of Scripture, my many relationships, and even through my blessed Matthew. I embraced the reformers, although I was not afraid to chastise them if necessary. I even chastised Martin Luther once. So I encourage you, bold women, to stand up for the truth and for justice and use the gifts and graces God has given you for the gospel.
Thank you, Katerina. Our next bold woman is Katerina von Bora Luther. Now, if ever there were a power behind the throne, none was stronger than our next speaker, Katerina von Bora Luther, or Dear Kate, as Martin Luther referred to his wife. He also admired her intellect, calling her Doctora Lutheran. Katerina von Bora was well respected and trusted in ways unheard of for women in those days, so much so that Martin Luther allowed her to deal with his publishers and made his dear Kate his sole heir.
Guten Tag. My name is Katerina von Bora Luther, and I was born in 1499 near Leipzig. I was only 5 or 6 years old when I was first sent to a Benedictine cloister for my education, then to a Cistercian convent. When I was 16, I took the veil of a nun. My life as a nun afforded me some things I might not have learned had I married early. I was well educated in the Holy Scriptures, and the structure of a convent life was such that I became accustomed to keeping schedules and managing the affairs of an institution. I served as a nun for 20 years. While I was there, the Reformation was brewing outside the convent. I knew little of the world outside the convent, except by reading about it. To leave the security of the convent, where I had spent all of my adult life, was a challenge, even frightening. But the opportunity came to escape the convent walls and to enter the outside world, and I accepted it. On Easter Eve, I joined 11 other nuns, and we climbed into a wagon in the black of night and left the convent forever. We had no idea if life or death awaited us. My 11 friends found safety fairly quickly. Some returned to their families and some married. but I had no home to return to. Martin Luther found a temporary place for me to stay with the Cronach family. Although I found many suitors, I did not want to marry any of them. I finally said boldly that I would only marry if it were to be Nicholas von Amsdorf or Martin Luther himself. I did not think that would happen, but it did. I married Martin Luther himself, and it was a very good match. We had 6 wonderful children, and we were truly helpmates for each other. I managed our large household, which also served as something of a boarding house for travelers or anyone who needed a place to stay. But I was not just a housekeeper and wife. I was also the manager of the estate, brewing beer, buying cattle, and scheduling building projects. I even found time to proofread Martin's German translation of the New Testament. At Martin's table talk sessions in our dining room, there was always a place for me and for my opinion. So I say to you, bold women, even when it seems the odds of the world are against you, remember that God is with you, enabling you to act boldly. We can't see into our future, but we can trust God to provide. God can surprise us in the most astonishing ways.
Thank you. Our final speaker from the Reformation era today is Olympia Fulvia Morata. She is an Italian scholar who is fluent in several languages. Olympia has been described as the new model for a woman, learned and Christian. She uses her intellect and gift of written word to enrich the lives of women. We can thank her for a new religious equality, allowing greater participation for women in spiritual and intellectual life. Olympia?
Buongiorno. My name is Olympia Fulvia Morata, and I was born in Italia in 1526. From an early age, I knew I was intellectually gifted, as did those around me in the family and at court. I was fortunate to live my life at a level of privilege and scholarly sophistication not available to most women. I loved to read and write, and I really loved languages. I even made my own translation of the Psalms. In my early years, I hadn't given much thought to religion, but as I grew older and wiser, I left the Catholic faith of my birth and embraced the Reformers. I married the love of my life, Andreas, also a Reformer, and we moved to Germany. But the land was soon to be in turmoil. We lived in Andreas's hometown of Schweinfurt, where he had a medical practice. Because the divide between Catholics and Reformers had turned from disagreement to warfare, our town came under siege for almost a year. Then it was set on fire, and we had to flee for our lives, leaving everything behind. God preserved our lives, but our books and my writings were lost. All around us were the threats of death and destruction. We lived in fear of what would happen next. Having gone through such loss and terror, I sympathized with the reformers in France, the Huguenots, who had suffered a massacre on St. Bartholomew's Day at the hands of the Catholics. So using my pen and my wit, I resolved to try to help them as best I could. I wrote my friend Anne to urge her to try to help these Christians as she might be able. It was a risk, a bold risk, because Anne was married to a Catholic, one of the leaders of the Catholic Party there. Nevertheless, I told her it was her duty to plead for the poor men being burned there because of their faith. If she was worried about what her husband or the other Catholic leaders might think or say, she should remember that it is better to be hated by men than by God, who is able to torture not just the body, but also the soul in perpetual fire. I was blessed by God, not only as gifted, but having the opportunity to use those gifts for the gospel. I was not drawn to things other women were, and sometimes I felt quite alone. In my struggle for identity, I wrote a poem, something useless most women wouldn't do, and which said, "Never did the same thing please the hearts of all, and never did Zeus grant the same mind to all. And I, though born female, have left feminine things, yarn, shuttle, loom threads, and work baskets. I admire the flowery meadow of the muses and the pleasant choruses of Twin Peak Parnassus. Other women perhaps delight in other things. These are my glory. These are my delight. So I say to you bold women, to find and know the gifts God has given you and be brave in using them for the gospel."
I want to thank each of these bold women of the Reformation who came here today to share and witness the ways in which God emboldened them to use their gifts and talents to advance women in the church and in the society. Let's join together in the hymn of the day, "For All the Faithful Women," verses 1, 2, and 9, hymn 419.
For all the faithful women,
stand and join me in the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105 in your hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share the peace of the Lord with your neighbor.
God, our Creator, you made us in your image, and you call us from wherever we are in time and place to be your disciples. Through your Holy Spirit, We are empowered to bring the gospel to all your people. By your grace, listen to our prayers. Let us pray. God of generations, we celebrate the lives of women who fought the good fight and stood up for the gospel and the truth of Scripture yesterday and today. Strengthen our voice of proclamation. In your mercy, hear our prayer.
God of life, we give thanks for the bold women among us today and serve with a sense of holy purpose in their vocations as daughters, mothers, grandmothers, and sisters. Empower us by faith and bless our vocations at home and in the church. Inspire us to encourage one another in fellowship, laughter, hospitality, and sharing. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving God, we pray for the men throughout the ages who support and encourage women in their quest to use their God-given gifts for your purpose. Give us courage to work together as equals to proclaim your grace and hope. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, our greatest friend, surround us with your love and affirmation through the kindness of others, be they friend or stranger, young or old. Give us eyes to see the love you lavish on all your people. Make us bold to speak your truth and act on behalf of your kingdom with courage and strength of purpose. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of understanding, give us courage to stand up for the abused, the needy, the sick, the poor, and the strange. We pray for those who suffer in mind, body, or spirit, that you might bring healing and comfort. Today, we especially pray for Virginia, Anne, Nyla, Greta, Pastor Randy, Matthew, Doug, Wayne, Christine, Jenica, Diane, Pete, Jackie, Dawn, Debbie, Vern, Dave, Jerry, Dr. Tom Byfield, George, Jessica, Norris, Terry, Pat, Sarah, Gertie, Perry, Ken, Bev, Ed, Ruthie, and Betty. And remember the families of Sophie Brothern and Orland Trasseth. Inspire us to be your hands to provide for those in need as we are able. In your mercy,
hear our prayer. O God, our help through the ages, we thank you for the gifts of wisdom and insight brought to us through the lives of your saints, Katie, Argula, Katharina, Olivia. Inspire us by thy witness as we continue their legacy in faith. In your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God of the universe, throughout history, you have given us the courage to form and reform your church against all odds and into the pathways as yet unknown. By your Spirit and in unexpected ways, you have brought us to this place in the circle of your love. Guide our ways that we may grow in faith and hope. Make us your bold and faithful servants this day and forevermore through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Let us join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the blessing. The God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The God of all grace bless you now and forever. Let's join together in our final hymn, closing the worship service, Let All Things Now Living, on page 881. in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.